glad your sins are washed away, amen, by the blood of the Lamb, amen. And we'll just sing that song, Amazing Grace. He looked beyond my faults and he saw my needs, amen. Amen. Amazing grace shall always be my song. Thank you. Closer to thee this morning, amen. Have a desire. If you have any desire, just lift it up to the Lord, amen. Just gonna ask Brother Simon if he come lead us in a word of prayer, amen. Also for the tithes and the offering.
Praise God, saints, let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, we love thee, God, and Lord Jesus, Lord, we're coming, Lord, to you, Lord, just seeking, Lord God, your face, God, Lord, and Lord, let not Wednesday night, Lord, just drop off, but Lord Jesus, Lord, let it start from Wednesday and continue and build, God, and Lord, till we see revival in this church, God, Lord. And Lord God, we want to, Lord, let Jesus Christ, Lord, we want you to live, God, Lord, in our lives, God, Lord, so much so, Lord, Lord, that there be a light, Lord, to shine around about us, God, Lord, Jesus, Lord, Lord, that would win souls, God, Lord, there would be a light unto others, God, Lord, that we can lead them right to the truth, God, Lord. Help us, Lord, to press on, God, Lord, Jesus, Lord, and may we always be about your business, God. Lord, we love you so much, God. Lord Jesus, Lord, just bless all those that couldn't make it out. Lord, protect each one, God, Lord. Lord Jesus, Lord, just help us, Lord, to really enter to worship, God. Lord, Lord, let us pull in the word of God, Lord. Lord, let us get things right in our lives, yes, God, Lord. Lord. And Lord Jesus, Lord, we want your spirit to come down, God. We want you to feel welcome here, Lord, God, Lord. For you're the creator, God, Lord, of all things, God. You're the keeper of each one here, God, Lord. We can't keep ourselves, Lord, we're weak and feeble, God, Lord. Our spirit's willing, but Lord, our flesh is weak, Lord. That's why we need your spirit within us, Lord. We love you, Lord. Lord, bless the tithes and offerings. Have your perfect way this morning, God, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Just sing that song, fire, 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 fire fall on me, amen. Amen. How many desire that same fire as the day of Pentecost, amen. That's what we want to be restored to, amen. Not to a 10-year-ago church, a 30-year-ago church, but to that day of Pentecost, amen. Amen. And fire, 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 fire for me. Well, fire, 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 fire for me. Yes, at the day of Pentecost, fire for me. Well, at the day of Pentecost, fire for me. Hallelujah, fire, 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 fire for me. Amen. Give the Lord a round of applause. Amen. Amen. You're worthy, Lord. Amen. Isn't he worthy of all praise and glory and honor? Amen. We'll just sing that song, Burdens Down, Lord. Burdens Down. Amen. We just want to cast all our burdens down. Come into the house of the Lord without any cares of this world. Amen. Burdens down, Lord. Burdens down, Lord. Since I laid my burdens down. Burdens down, Lord. Burdens down, Lord. Since I laid my burdens down. I feel better. I feel better. Friends don't treat me like. all praise and glory and honor. Amen. Would you sing that song? I think you played it in pre-service. Amen. Break every chain. Amen. I don't think we have it on the projector, but it's a simple song. Amen. There's power in the name of Jesus. Amen. How many can say that without a shadow of a doubt? There's power in that name, that precious name, that holy name that shed his blood for you. Amen. Amen.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Sing that again. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is healing. There is healing in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the name of Jesus.
Amen. By the grace of God, it's good to be a Christian this morning. to try to sing this song, sister. I've sung it before. There's actually some notes there and things like that. By the grace of God, it's lovely to be a son of God, a daughter of God this morning, to feel identified with that cross, amen. To have a word that shows you who you are, amen. So we can see we got a door open back there, brother. If you want to help get air in here, there's a fan back here too, two of them. And I almost thought about chasing one down myself. But the temperature's a little higher this morning, amen. Pray that's all right. It's good to see our brother Herbie here this morning. It's been years since I've seen brother Herbie there, so it sure is nice to have him in the house of God. I got a few out this morning, but by the grace of God, we just thank God for allowing us to come to the house of God with an expectation, I believe. Amen. So, we really might want to bring both out because I think I'm going to need one. I can feel it already. But it's okay when things get a little warmer. It just shows that that's kind of what we're spiritually looking for. Amen. We want a spiritual climate that's a little bit hotter. Amen. And like you said, when you actually look at a chicken trying to hatch an egg, that egg won't hatch unless it's under the right atmosphere. Amen. As I'm talking about that, Brother Simon just told a story to me yesterday about how his chickens, he had some eggs fertilized, and his dad, or our dad, actually put six of them in the refrigerator by accident. Two of them in the refrigerator by accident. Apologize. And anyway, they were in that refrigerator for hours, 6 hours. And they found out that those eggs were in there, and they took those two eggs and they put them right back under the mother hen. And somehow, some way, one of those eggs still hatched. But that egg was able, because remember, that if that egg doesn't stay at a constant temperature, it'll kill the fetus there. So by the grace of God, God allowed something supernal, something supernatural to happen there, to bring a life in the midst of a cold atmosphere. Amen? Praise God. As long as that little egg got right back in the right atmosphere, God's going to make sure that something was born there. Amen? I'm going to try to sing this song. Amen?
We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Amen. You love God?
Amen.
I sure love that last verse. Amen. Amen. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Amen. So with that being sung, amen. Let's go ahead and get our Bibles out as we stand for the reading of our word. Thank you, sister. You did a lovely job. Brothers, you did a great job. Two's not enough. We need three on that fan. So we're going to take her up a little bit. By the grace of God, we'll open up our Bibles back to where we were on our previous service on Wednesday. We're going to go Habakkuk 3, verse 2. After that, we're going to go to Hosea 10, verse 12 today. On Wednesday, we dealt with the topic of revival, amen. We preached on Revive Thy Work, and by the grace of God, we started working with just a little foundation and showing a few things. We'll get into that, maybe just recover a little bit, perhaps, of what was stated, and by the grace of God, we'll move right into a little bit further into our little journey here with this thought. So Habakkuk 3, verse 2. Says, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of years. In the midst of years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. Amen. Hosea 10, verse 12. Says here, still here, a couple pages flipping. We certainly give credence to that this morning. It's good to hear those pages turn. Amen. Hosea 10:12. Sometimes with these little books in the Old Testament, you got to go to the index and find out where they're at. Amen. But by the grace of God, sounds like all the pages have been turned. See, still a couple youngsters turning. That's really special. Amen?
Amen.
So in Hosea 10, verse 12, remember we had actually had a revival, and we use this as our scripture when our little invitation that we sent out. It says here, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Amen. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, how we love You this morning, God. We thank You, Lord, that, Lord, here on a resurrection morning, God, we could be together. Oh, Lord, with the same desire, Lord, we want to know God. We want to know You, Lord. And, Lord, we want to be in a place, God, that we can find a revival this morning, God. We can find a reviving, oh God. And our desire today, Lord, is not to say anything on ourselves. Lord, even in the congregation, Lord, not to hear anything of ourselves, God. But, Lord, we want to hear the Word of God. We want to hear the author of the book speak, oh God. And, Lord, today, Lord, if we could all just give light to that, oh God. If we could give our ability to yield to that, God, Lord, what could You do in the house of God this morning, Lord? And Lord, though it might be hot in here this morning, and Lord, we just realize, God, that our God is a consuming fire. Lord, You are a type of God that likes heat, Lord. Lord, even light, for the most part, it brings forth heat, oh God. So we just ask God this morning, Lord, that You'd come and be with us, God. Lord, feed us with Thy Word, O God. Give us strength, O God, to hear it, Lord. Give us strength to do it, Lord. We just ask, God, now that, Lord, we just set everything aside, Lord. And God, if there be any sin in the room, Lord, we're looking for Ananias and Sapphira, God. Lord, we don't care, Lord, if it starts from the pulpit, if it starts from, oh God, the congregation, Lord. We don't care where it starts. If it would start by just someone bringing forth a gift, God, we don't care, Lord. We just want the Holy Ghost here like that, Lord. So we just pray tonight that you'd have your, or this morning, God, that you'd have your, so to say, your sovereign will to be done here. In the name of Jesus Christ, the bride says together, amen. You may be seated. Amen. I don't know how far we'll get this morning, but we just want to lay in a little thought. And I want us to be in the thought of the, as far as revival this morning and what revival is and what it is working. And I pray for those who are here on Wednesday that you literally started to start working on something there, because we understand that revival is not just a one service thing, but actually revival is actually something that is supposed to be something you have to work up to. And then once you get there, you have to maintain that. Amen? We understand that in How Can I Overcome in 1963, that we find that the prophet God said that how do we overcome? He said it would literally come down to that the church should never leave spiritual revival. But it should be actually an everyday thing that we should go through, something that we all should allow to basically control us. Amen? I mean, if you understand what revival is, we'll start going through this now. But revival is a return or a recall or recovery to life from death or apparent death. Amen? So just simply going through this, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but I want us to understand that revival is actually, especially in religion, at one point in time, the vast majority of us here, if not all of us, have had an experience with God, us older ones. And by the grace of God, when you started off with God, you had a fire burning, right? You had something that was moving you, something that was driving you, amen? And whether that was driving you to prestige or to fellowship or what that was, we understand that a true revival is when you actually come back to what you were always made to be, amen? Amen. If you were what? In the mind of God back then, God had something in His mind of what you are. Amen. Of what you were. Amen. And what you would become. He always knew that you were a son of God. Amen. He ordained that. He predestinated that. And what God's desire within that was what? To allow you to fall in a slidden state from true grace, from true salvation, from a true walk with God, and what? To get you in a path where you could be restored. Amen. Amen. But notice what we deal with many of us here having experience with God. Quite oftentimes, we get ourselves in a spot where we actually are fading from a glory that we once held with God. Amen. Anybody identify with that? Amen. We should have lots of hands flying and flagging today. But by the grace of God, what is it? It actually shows that it is the devil's desire. If he can keep you from a good state with God, he can have rule over your life. Amen. Why is that? Because what? We have this flesh here, right? It's pretty hard to get away from. We're trapped by it every day. And what? It has desires of its own. And those desires are not heavenly. Those desires are carnal. They're earthly. What? It wants you to satisfy it. Amen. But God, remember, we're not supposed to be looking at the seen. We are supposed to be looking at the unseen, right? And if you're looking at the unseen, you're actually looking at the spiritual aspect that God made you. Amen. You are supposed to rule this flesh. You are supposed to watch to have a control over this devil. Amen. Every now and then, he's supposed to what? We know he'll sneak something on you, right? But how come it's got to a place that we have to sneak something of God on our flesh? It's backwards now, isn't it? We should be at a place that what? That the only sneaking that's done should be the devil sneaking one on us. But what's the difference? The difference is, one is a revival. It is a revived state. We backslide every day. That's why we have to die daily. So if that is one of the precepts of our religion, that means that you can actually live that portion. Now remember what this is. This is not popular because, of course, you're actually talking about becoming something, right? And everything that this flesh is pushing on you in Laodicea, this goes against the grain. This gets a couple, it starts bashing your flesh. It starts bashing true religion. True religion is not just people going to church. True religion is when the person of religion himself lives inside of you. Notice, church, God is an object of religion until God becomes the existence of religion in you himself. A living God will show himself living, right? A living God will prove himself to be that God. Oh, hallelujah. Allah, he can make his people be good sometimes, right? But what is that? It's not a God that lives. It's a faith in a dead God. Buddhism, you got Taoism, you got the yin-yang, you got all that stuff. And what? It shows how within yourself you can have a positive energy and a negative energy. Oh, we all look the same, but do we? Because the yin-yang cannot live inside of me. Amen. Allah cannot live inside of you. Krishna. What is Krishna? All these things are what? Things that people have to worship, but they cannot bring forth the true life of God. Because one thing separates them. This God we serve, he resurrected to be alive in you. It's called the resurrection power. It identifies with you and it shows what? It shows the same power of resurrection in your life. Hallelujah. So noticing living in a late hour as we do, we find the necessity of resurrection within us. It all is determined by what your thought of God is. Revival is a state of mind. Amen. But it's just, what mind do you have to put it forth? Because if you've received the mind of Christ, now you've really found the mind of revival. Now, it's a good thing because God is a gentleman. He's shown himself as what? As a lamb in dying for your sins. He showed himself as a dove in infilling you. And whatever would scare that dove away, he ain't going to fight to stay there. You know, in my house, you come to my house, I have a bird feeder. Amen? And I'll tell you what, I let out the chickens. Those chickens run to that bird feeder. And they'll sit there and they'll feed. And what I've noticed is that when my doves come, they stay right by that feeder and they'll keep on feeding a little bit here and there. But you let those chickens will come right over and chase those doves off so they can't even feed. I have never one time seen those doves make a challenge. But as soon as the chickens come running, They take their flight. Because the dove has that type of a nature. The dove has that type of what? Of a life that it lives. And any time you let those chickens loose, that chicken nature, that flesh that you have, when you let it have control, don't think that dove's going to fight to stay there. Don't think that dove's going to say, this is my feeder. He's going to say, you let the chickens out. And if you don't say, hallelujah, if you don't say, God, get that chicken out of here. That dove's just going to go over and fly off in the tree somewhere. Amen. And wait till you want him back. Amen. How do you get him back? Well, with what I've seen, I got to go lock the chickens up. Amen. 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 Now, notice, I want us to look at this in a way here so that we can see, and I'm not promising I'll get very far again, but I want us to understand that what we dealt with on Wednesday, we're dealing with the spirit of revival. And we know it was taught in this message. It was taught by Finney. It was taught by Edwards and even Moody that when you're talking about salvation, you're talking about a power of religion. It's not something that you say, God, I'll give my heart to you. Okay, I'm done. But it's actually something you have to press into. The funny thing is, even in Christianity, when you receive the Spirit or when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it is still something that you have to press into and you have to press to maintain. Amen. Well, not me. Oh, hallelujah. Now, notice this. I'm going to read a quote that I read the other day just to get you caught up here. In making the valley full of ditches in 56, this should be my establishment of this, and then I'll let it go, amen? Notice in E45 says, the only way you're ever going to go, way you're ever going to see your way out is an old-fashioned spiritual revival. He's talking about America being destroyed. Where the hallelujahs of God is ringing from the bottom of your heart, and an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival hits the place. Then you begin to see things. Then God will begin to reveal things. Then you'll wonder why these real Christians are hanging on, why they're praying for you. What a revival he got in the Spirit. Now the reason that these people have dances, if they didn't have a dance, so they couldn't get in the spirit of dancing. You can't have a ball game unless you get in the spirit of the ball game. You've got to get in the spirit of it. And we can never have a revival in Shreveport or anywhere else until the church gets in the spirit of revival. Notice, God can come and perform miracles. He can show wonders. He can stretch forth His hands to heal the sick and afflicted. The preacher can preach the gospel as hard as he can, but there'll never be a revival until the church gets in the spirit of revival. That's what we work with Wednesday. Now, what is that saying? When you dance, you got to get in the spirit of it. When we come to church, you have to get in the spirit of church. Why are you here? Are you here just to listen? Are you here what? Are you here to say, oh, I'm going to make it? What are you here for? But if you've come into a place that you understand that church is a place you come to worship God. You come to yield to God. You come to let God manifest Himself out of you. Then you understand what church is. Am I losing you? Because this is our problem. We don't have the mindset of what this is here for. I've come to an understanding that church to me is a place where I, if led by God, I come to allow the gift of preaching to manifest outside of me. When I come here, I don't say, oh boy, I ain't got a preacher lined up. I guess I should have one. I ain't got nothing. I don't have a gift to preach that today. Oh, hallelujah. There's been times where God has hidden the message from me, even to the last minute. And the thoughts go through my head, God, why am I here? God, oh, if I have called brother so-and-so. Amen! But when I get up to minister, the gift makes way for itself. But I'm not confused about my role. I'm not confused about who I am. Every one of you, you are here to manifest a gift. It is the gift of the Holy Ghost. And it makes itself manifest in several different ways. This is what church is. You come here to worship God. Okay. Oh, I hope Brother Dave sings my favorite song. They're all my favorite songs. You can let the hallelujahs come ringing out from inside of you. Whether it's a hymn, whether it's Break Every Chain. Oh, hallelujah. God, break some chains today. Break this chain holding me. Break the chains of unbelief off this church. And God, send a revival. A revival, that means that God doesn't just live in someone preaching, but God lives in a church. Hallelujah. When the church gets in the spirit of revival, then things get done. I've been contemplating these things in my mind. Say, God, I don't need to give sermon titles. I don't need to give locations. I don't need to say E45. I just need to get up there and preach. Amen. And the church should be in such a tone with God and His message that when I say something that's out of quotation, you should be able to pick that up. Right? Kind of like what I just said. If you caught it, your prophet said what? He said, only in revival. He said, that's a time when things get done. Amen. Amen. Those weren't even in my studies, but it come back to me. Amen. Well, if it comes back to a preacher, shouldn't that come back to the audience? Amen. But watch, we got to get in the spirit of the word. Oh, hallelujah. You know it, church. When you get in the spirit of the word, what God starts opening stuff up to you. He starts bringing things to remembrance. That's what the Holy Ghost is for. He's here to what? Allow you to be in your most potent state. Can anyone here say, oh, I'm already there. I'm already in my most potent state. We need revival. Notice, so what? There can never be a revival until you get in the spirit of revival. Amen. Until you get to a place you say, God, I want you to live fully, wholeheartedly in me. Amen. Now, notice what we're dealing with here. We're talking about, you see, I just preached this Wednesday. And I'm back to Sunday. Where's the revival? Looks like it takes more than one sermon. Oh, hallelujah. When I woke up on last Thursday morning, I felt the Holy Ghost all over me. He was all over me all day long. And I'll tell you what. Every time I went to do something that was wrong, I felt a great conviction coming over me. A couple times I won, a couple times I lost. Then Friday, it kind of faded off a little bit. But can I say that I really made forth the effort to allow that revival to fully happen on Thursday and Friday? Well, no. No, I went back to my schedule. Amen. Well, I pray 10 minutes every morning. Why do this every morning? Why do this then and that and then? And you wake up and you have the conviction of the Holy Ghost. And what? God's wanting to see how much you want revival. On, is it okay if I use myself as an example?
Amen.
I'm talking about something I ain't seen broke out. Amen. Everywhere.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm talking about the big one.
Amen.
Amen. What's coming here?
Amen.
Amen. By faith.
Amen.
So notice, the only way you're going to get a revival is when you start realizing that a revival has to be every day.
Amen.
How many times a week do you go to church? How many times do you go, Brother Freddie? One time. This time. 2 to 3, depending on prayer. Okay, there's my trick question. Here's my answer. We should be going to church every day.
Right? Amen.
Right?
Because
how many of you, let me just say it from this aspect. How many of us treat every day like we're coming here? And we're still coming here like this. But this is actually our, these are highlights.
Come on, brother. Come on.
Right?
Come on.
Oh, hallelujah. How many of you, when you're at home praying, you know, every day? How many of you are crying out, screaming in your house? How many of you are crying out at the altar at home, saying, God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. God, I'm responding to this word. Oh, hallelujah. We need a word inside of us. This ain't some fanatical crazy thing. This is the original. Oh, hallelujah. You know, we're still chasing down our spiritual gifts. Did you know that your spiritual gift isn't just for the church? It's for your house.
Amen.
Right? We've all heard of people who have an atmosphere in their house. You go in their house, and what? There's a presence of the Holy Ghost there. Hallelujah. Your prophet, what? He said that what? He said we should be a place, our homes should be a place that angels can come to. Anybody see any angels in here? Hallelujah! In Azusa Street, you could hear them singing. You could hear them singing 50 years after Azusa Street. Oh, hallelujah! And the Bible says what? The angels encompass them that fear Him. We need more fear, more cry out, more of a desire to see the things that are what? Fearful to many people.
Amen.
But to the bride, they're beloved.
Amen.
I said, this ain't deep preaching. But it never took one deep sermon to bring forth a revival.
Amen.
Show me one deep sermon that ever produced revival. So now, notice here, moving into Revivals of Religion, Charles Finney's book, page 7. I'm gonna go through this just a little bit. I only got through 1 of 4. So I want to start going through this again and make sure we all are on the same page, because I want us all to get this. Amen. It presupposes that the church, he says what a revival is. It presupposes that the church is sunk down in a backslidden state. You'll never have a revival unless you can see that your church isn't what it needs to be.
Wow. Amen.
Amen. And a revival consists in the return of the church from her backslidings and in the conversion of sinners. Praise God. How many here can say, God, I never ever want to backslide again? Amen. Notice, number one, I read this, I'm going to read it fast and maybe say a few things. A revival always includes conviction of sin on the part of the church. Backslidden professors cannot wake up and begin right away in the service of God without deep searchings of the heart. You have to decide if you really want to go further with God than where you're at. Is anybody satisfied with their religion? That's good. Because you have to decide whether you're happy with your religion or if there's something more that there's supposed to be. Let's go. The fountains of sin need to be broken up. In a true revival, Christians are always brought under such conviction. Now, I'm going to move on there. So what? We see sin as a prelude. When you realize that sin is greater than your religion, that sin is more seen in you than God is. Now, this takes a revelation because you have to understand what revealing God is. Revealing God isn't a quote. Revealing God is not just, well, I memorized the scripture. Revealing God isn't, oh, I pray every day at 6:25. That's not revealing God. To a small level, sure. But the full revealing of God is when God fully takes over you. Now, let's go to Habakkuk 1. Habakkuk 1:1. Now notice we started both services reading Habakkuk crying out and saying, revive thy work, God. Now, what made him say that? What got him in a place? He said, God, we need a revival here. Now, look at this. In Habakkuk 1:1, it says, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. So it consisted of something that he seen. And it was a burden. Remember in the Old Testament, the word burden actually means a load. Or a heavy weight. So something is bearing upon him by the things that he's seen. Now I want to share something else with you here. It says Habakkuk the prophet. Now when you read these three chapters, you'll find something very interesting. Habakkuk never uses, thus saith the Lord. Habakkuk never says, the word of the Lord came to me. But literally what he says is he said that God placed a burden upon him. Now, if you'd read the whole thing, you would find that he sees what? That God is going to send the Chaldeans to destroy his people and bring them captive. Now, look at this. In the Gill commentary, I love it how it says this. It says, Abarbanel inquires why Habakkuk could be called a prophet, which none of the lesser prophets are, except Haggai and Zechariah. And thinks the reason of it is to give weight to his prophecy, since it might be suspected by some whether he was one. There being none of those phrases to be met with in this prophecy as in others, as the word of the Lord came, or thus saith the Lord. So notice, it was a day and age where the people had an expected mode to hear from God. Oh, they expected God to say, "Thus saith the Lord." Or they expected God to say, "Oh, the word of the Lord came to." And notice, even the fathers who had come after, they would question the validity of this prophecy and these prophecies because of the fact that here it was, someone who wasn't even regarded as a prophet. And he would what? Call judgment on the people. And he would see something coming. And he would cry out against it. But his prophecy was very limited. Oh, hallelujah. We find here that it was even so much that they questioned him being a prophet. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I want you to see this because I want you to understand that we live in a day where we can only find credence based on a prophet long ago. And though there's a lot of substance we can place to that, our messenger, this and that, but we find out that it literally is coming down to the place of what? God working on a minor form. Now I want to show you why this is. Because remember, look at what this man has. He has a burden. Something that he's seeing. And it's weighing down on him. Now notice. Second verse. It says, "O Lord, how long shall I cry? And thou wilt not hear. Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save." What type of day is this? God ain't hearing their prayers? Even though crazy things are going on around them. Let's continue. "Why dost thou shew me iniquity?" Oh, we're getting quiet. What has God shown you as a Christian? Has He put this burden on you? Here He is alone in a backslidden people. And God reveals to him iniquity. And he's crying out. But God's not answering. Notice. It says, "And cause me to behold grievance." Things that grieve God. Let's continue. "For spoiling and violence are before me." Sure. Every day in the news. "And there are that raise up strife and contention." Contentious people. Notice. "Therefore, the law is slacked." What's his burden? He's seeing people that are what? That are caught in iniquity. That are grieving God. This is God's church that we're talking about, Israel here. Now notice here, it says what? "The law is slack and judgment doth never go forth." Amen. There is no stand on what the word is. Amen. Do these people have the word? Yes. They have the word. But what? There's no judgment that is fixing what the word is. But God has revealed to Habakkuk what it is and he's watching and he's crying out and he's longing for God to revive. It says, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth. Amen. Isn't that the day that we live in right now? Amen. Look at our law system. Look at everything. Amen. People come on your property to kill them. And some people kill them. And they have to go to jail for the rest of their life, even though they broke the law. I'm not justifying murder. But what I'm trying to say is that we live in a time. Amen. Amen. You don't do a wedding for something antichrist.
Right.
You're wrong.
That's right, brother.
You go to jail. You lose your business. You do this.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. You cry out for the Holy Ghost.
Come on, brother.
They say that's not the Holy Ghost. They say that's wrong. Hallelujah. We have to see. That's why I'm trying to tell you this morning, church. We have to see what church is. We have to see what revival is. We have to see that there is a purpose for this word.
Amen.
And what we're watching, nominal, everywhere, we have to see that it is not living up to what this was.
Amen.
I ain't saying people aren't crying out for it. But what I'm saying is, I am a local pastor. And this is what we need.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, notice what's really going on here. We see a man living with a backslidden people. Remember, Israel was not a backslidden individual. It was a church nation. And here he's watching the church. And this is what the church is. It's backslidden. It's full of iniquity. It's not a living entity. It doesn't look like God.
Amen.
So notice, he's crying out. Sounds like somebody with the seal of God. So notice, it says here, let's continue. I want to go to Habakkuk 2, verse 1. It says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Is he above? Is he in a righteous state that cannot be revived? He's just one looking for a voice. He believes that the voice can speak to him. Let's continue. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it.
Amen.
Let me tell you something, church. If God sent us a prophet 50 years ago, and it's voice form, and it's letter form,
amen,
it was put there not just to sit there. It was put there to make him that runneth, or he that readeth, to run. Now notice, are you catching it? I know this is simple. I know this ain't popular. I know, oh, he's already tearing me up. But this is a time period that we have to get into a state that God, I need to be tore up until I look like what I'm supposed to look like. Oh, hallelujah. God, change me. God, change us. God, change the bride. Amen. To look like the Word, the written Word. We have to look like the prophecy. So notice, it was a vision. God gave him a vision of what to write to make the people run. So let me ask you something. Were there people who were there that were too called to run? Sure. Was it plain? Do you understand what plain means? It means simple. So is this some great... Brother Freddy, if you can only tell me what the thunders are. Brother Steve, give me some of the advantage stuff substance, brother. Help me. Because once I figure it out, we're going to ride again. Well, literally. Is that what we're looking for? Somebody give me the answer to the secret! And it's right there the whole time. Amen. You see what I mean? Do I need more than what was sown to me in this day? You know that God allowed to stay on tapes, allowed believers to still have it, but allowed to come to me. Do I need more than that message? Well, of course I need a fivefold, but understand what I'm saying. It has been sown from the messenger of this hour. Is it plain? Yes, it's plain. Don't you see why there's such a fuss? We can come together in a unity of meetings, but let's talk about the Holy Ghost. Understand what I'm saying? What if we talked about the Holy Ghost? What is it that we need? See what I'm saying? Do I need a Holy Ghost that gives me the gifts? Some say no. Some say maybe. Some say kind of. But the Word says, I need a gift of God that brings forth gifts. It brings forth what? A prophetic insight in the people. It makes, thus saith the Lord, not just live in a fivefold, but it lives in the whole body of the church. Remember, what Corinthians had wasn't bad. Everyone had the revelation. Everyone had a song. Everyone has a tongue. But what made it wrong is that it did not edify the body. Hallelujah. We need a hand that'll move. We need a foot that'll move. We need a body in action that goes forward. My suggestion, my fight, is that before I can make another body move, I've got to make our body move. Hallelujah. Because you know what? Before people can believe what has been shown to you and been shown to me, I got to have it at a place that they can see it. Amen. Oh God, they're Pentecostals. Amen. But when they go, they're Pentecostals. But did you hear the Holy Spirit? Did you hear what that brother cried out in tongues? You see the sister who interpreted it? And it was exactly 100% on, right with the Word. Did you hear it? You hear it prophesied about someone not taking a certain road because they'd be killed. And there's an accident on that road. Well, what is that? That was for a day ago. That's supposed to be alive right here. But what's the issue? Do we not have the vision? Can we not read? Can we not read the Word manifested to us? But what's the issue? Is making that Word live. Amen. Here he is again, trying to empower us. Here he is again. He's tearing my hide, acting like God needs to do something more with me than what he's doing. Can God speak to every individual here? Can God gift or bring forth his gift in every single individual here? How do I get there? How do I get there? We need a revival. Shake that off real quick. Now notice, third verse, Habakkuk 2:3, it says, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, and is not upright in him. But the just shall live by his faith." This is the first time that this statement is ever made in Scripture. The just shall live by his faith. And what is it in reference to? It's in reference to the written prophetic word. Meaning what? That it will be fulfilled in them. Amen. And then what? Do you realize that says right there that that is what is going to please God? A faith in the prophetic word being fulfilled in the believer. By a so-called prophet. Is he one? I don't know. I hope you can see it. I ain't talking about me. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. Wherever he's at. Hallelujah. It might be coming out of you. It will. Amen. It was made to. Amen. But it all depends when we find a place that we realize that the satisfaction that we're meant to have with God is at a higher level than where we're seated. So notice, we could, let me finish what a revival is. Are you seeing what this is? Here, Habakkuk cries out, God, revive thy work in the midst of years. It was a prophecy made to live. It was a people who are completely in a Laodicean condition. But he's seen it. And he was crying out for it. Amen. Amen. Now notice what a revival is. Number two. It said backslidden, what a revival is when backslidden Christians will be brought to repentance. A revival is nothing else than a new beginning of obedience to God. You see why? See why we go this way? How many say, "Oh God, I'm fully obedient to you"? How do you know that you're obedient to God? Let me say that. Church, I want to break this down to you. I want you to understand how simple this is, but I want you to understand how different this is. How do Laodicean Christians identify them being obedient to God? One, if we feel led to do something, if what ends up turning up happening after we're done, it appears to justify what we did. Right? This is our modern day proof of obedience to God. Well, I felt like I needed to do that, and I did it, and this happened. Okay, what else shows your obedience to God? Well, God, I need this. I got to have this. I felt like we needed this. We had to have it. And I went and I got it. Come on, come on. Don't you understand what Laodicea is? It is complete self-gratification. You look at the people who lived before you and how they lived destitute. How they were giving everything. I know we all need a lesson, don't we? We're Laodicean people. But tell me, what is going to change you from being that? We have left a state that we feel a pricking so heavy that we do it. I mean, you understand the fire that God put in Ezekiel. Remember we preached that? How God told me He was going to go tear up the people. And when you read the words of God, it looked like it's going to be a good thing. It looked like the people are going to get in line. And then we find out that when He did it, it completely backfired and they hated Him. They tried killing Him. And eventually they did. And He told God, He said, "God, you fooled me." But then God come back around and said, "You did exactly what I told you to do." Amen. 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 He was working with a voice. He was working with what? A conviction. Amen. He was working with a mind. When you're not in a state of revival, will you admit that you have less of a leading of the Holy Spirit? I know I'm not really screaming and yelling a lot here. It certainly ain't helped me to do it. Amen. But this is crunch time. When looking at the Spirit of God, we're looking at something that is meant to move you. We're looking at a God that would constrain Paul. We'd be looking at a God that would actually, I would say, progressively change the Word of God to Peter. Amen. We're looking at a God that would what? He would addict people to a ministry. Amen. What addicted them to the ministry? Satan. No. Do you think Satan's going to addict you to the ministry of God? But here, In Habakkuk, we're finding a people that aren't judging right. They're just doing whatever.
Amen.
Contention. But now, notice what we're really looking for is a fresh move with God that leads to a greater obedience. How many say, I know I'm obedient today because I'm in the house of God? Now everybody's just looking at me. How do you know you're obedient to God? How do you know? You've done exactly what God wants you to do. Well, what the house of God? Then God speaks the word to you. Well, how do you know you're obedient to the word? Is that the word? Is it not the word? What is it? Well, now you're really breaking down simplicity. Because what is true resolve to the problem we face? If you find credibility that we are in the full condition of the bride right now, the word I'm reading says that we're not. The only way to get in that position is to find a revival. To find a renewed obedience to who God is. And falling under not a man age, falling under an eagle age, anointing, that should take us pretty high now. Let's continue. 3, Christians will have their faith renewed. I like this. While they are in their backslidden state, they are blind to the state of sinners. Their hearts are hard as marble. The truth of the Bible appeared like a dream. Can God move this mountain? Sure He can. Now look at this. They admit it to be all true. Their conscience and their judgment assent to it. So notice, though you say the word is right, though you say, yes, God can move the mountain. They said, oh, shame on me if I don't believe that's right. But their faith does not see it standing out in bold relief. So what is that? Just because you sit here this morning and say, oh, Brother Cam, I believe it. Oh, I believe God can heal. I believe this and that. Remember, this is what a revival is. You say it's right. Does it mean you're not a child of God when you believe like this? No. It just means that you have what? Come into a hardened, cold state. Are you a son of God? Yes, daughter of God. Hallelujah. But you're not living the potential of the Word that you are meant to live. You're almost like you're in a state of confusion. But what shows you're in revival and what shows you're not? You have faith enough to say that word is right. But you don't have faith enough to make that Bible live. This is powerful. You have to see this. Oh God, you can do it. But when does there come a substance strong enough in you to say, God, I watch it?
Amen.
Remember what you're dealing with. You're dealing with a word that you read. And when you have faith enough, whatever you're looking at, it has to happen. Not one shadow of a doubt. And what shows that you had that faith? When it happens.
Amen.
So, let me ask you. If you believe this, if God has put needs in your life that can only be supernaturally responded to, and you say, I believe God's going to do it, do you realize, even according to this message, that as long as you sit right there, the devil's got you? And your prophet said that he'll leave you right there.
Amen.
Because staying right there, your prophet said, hope is the greatest enemy of faith. Is hope a bad thing? I hope not. But hope does not necessarily fulfill what faith is. It doesn't do it. Faith is a revelation. Faith is an actual substance that has to make itself known. And how do you know you need a revival? When the things that you've been praying about, when the things that you know, only God can do it, when they're sitting right there and they haven't come to pass.
Amen.
I told you this a couple times before. You remember when Charles Finney was working with his conversion? And he felt a conviction to go to church. So he started going to church, and he started to go to these prayer meetings at this church. And he said they'd be there every Friday night, and they'd be crying out. They say, and he'd hear them. They were praying out loud.
Amen.
It's even a little different than what we do here for the most part. But by the grace of God, here they are crying out. And he hears specific things that they're praying for. And he just sit back in the back and watch. He wouldn't give his life to God, and he'd leave. Then he'd come back the next week, and he'd sit in that prayer service again. And he said he'd hear them crying out and praying for the same exact thing. And he'd do this weeks at a time, weeks. Then all of a sudden, one time, after a prayer meeting, a couple people come up to him, and they confront him. And they say, you've been coming here for a while. So would you like to receive Jesus Christ in your heart? Would you like to know more about this religion that we found? And Charles Finney answered them. And he said, I've been coming here all these weeks. And I've been watching you pray to a God that cannot answer your prayers. He said, your God is dead. He said, I don't want that God.
Come on, brother. Amen. Come on. Right.
Can you imagine what they felt like? How do you feel? When we cry out for something, God should give it to us.
Amen.
You remember in Charles Finney's day? Charles Finney said he would watch people almost almost blaspheme God. He said they would be praying, crying out within that revival. And they'd say, God, don't even think that you can withhold this from me. And he said what seemed as sheer blasphemy, he would watch God answer their prayers every time. Because when they were quoting that to God, they said, God, your word said I could have it. Amen. How dare you think that you can go against your word? Amen. Do you realize what level of faith they were portraying to God? Amen. That what they were reading was not just advice. What they're reading was not just, well, someday. But what they're actually reading, the Word of God, was actually something that was meant to perform. Amen. Do you realize that in the 1830s, this was well before Azusa Street? They didn't have that revelation. And just because they were willing to put God on the scene, and he said, those people who put God like that were some of the most successful people that he's seen in spiritual religion. Amen. He said, those people, he said they could never go more than a few days or a week without getting a fresh conversion. Amen. Do you realize what that is? That's coming from a man who doesn't know what the baptism of the Holy Ghost really is. That's coming from a man who did not have the message of this hour. And he noticed the success that the people had. The constant thing they always showed was that they had to get a fresh conversion with God. Do you realize what he said? He said they fell back into their sin in such a spot that they are crying out for God to give them something all over again. I'm back to this table again. I'm back to this place again. And I pray that God work at this time because I feel like we're in the season of it. Amen. I feel we're on the brink of a strong moving of God. Amen. We've got a couple amens. Some nods. But do you see what a revival changes about that? Revival elevates your faith. It puts you in a state that what? You're a sinner and you've got to have a closer walk with God. What do you think desperation is? What do you think a spiritual revival is that you have to maintain every day? Didn't get very far again. Hope that's all right. Now, let me read you a few more things. We'll let you go. Getting in the Spirit, 1961. I don't want to move too far forward because I'm too late. I ain't going to take you there. E76, it says, that's the way you get a revival. It's when you really get in the spirit of revival. Not whooping it up or something. See, I can scream all day long. It don't get nowhere. And I shouldn't have to do it. You should respond to the Word. But by praying it down. So what is the spirit of revival? You know, this gradual thing that we work into. comes down to an attitude. And it works with prayer. It works with what? Not just a prayer. Well, God, I prayed. You know how it is. God bless the Cobbs. God bless Sister Barb. God bless the Llewellyns. God bless the Salmies. God bless the Delaneys. God bless Brother Freddie. God bless in no particular order. God help the church. Okay, I'm revived. I'm ready to go. It changes prayer from being a mode. Oh God, help my brother, help my sister. You see what they're going through. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh God, you're going to give me that. I know you. Come on, oh God, you're going to drop the Holy Ghost down today. I know it. God, you're going to do something today. Do you really think that even our prophet, that he was sitting there and he'd say, yeah, God can't heal today. Yeah, God can't do it. I think he's in a real maybe state, whether God is real or not. Remember he said, you can't tell me that divine healing ain't right. It's too late for that. Well, what revealed that to him? It went from word form to reality form. God could manifest a gift inside of him. There are only gifts of healing that were supposed to be in the church. We'd be all right. There are only gifts of miracles that was in the church. You know, like miraculous things supposed to happen in the church. So notice, not by whooping up, by praying it down, until there's a revival, strike your heart. Until all the logs of ecclesiasticalism. How's that for a word? Say it 10 times fast. Ecclesiastical? That's just a religion. Right. To all the logs of fanaticism. All the log of systems. All logs of unbelief flows out. And then the waters of God comes falling down upon you. There you are. Say the Pentecostals is nothing but just a bunch of make-believe. You get right down and dig down till you strike the rock bottom. You need a rock bottom. Let a Pentecostal experience happen to you and watch what happens, brother. Well, that's only... You know, that's pre-63, so that really doesn't mean anything anymore. There's nobody can lay a finger on your life. Yes, sir. You're square as a gun barrel straight, and you're a real gentleman. You're a real man of God. You're a real woman of God. When you're sealed by the Holy Spirit, the seal's on both sides of the paper. They can see you coming and see you going. They'll know that you look like, act like, talk like, associate like, and you are a Christian, you're sealed by the Holy Ghost. God's ready to do it if we're ready to let Him do it. Do you believe that? Now, what's the next thing to do? Is the next thing, preacher, for you to come lay your hands on me? That doesn't have nothing to do with it. That might spurn you up on a little something, but that isn't it. The thing to do, brothers, accept God's Word and say, it's the truth and I believe it. I've got an old chunks in here. I'm throwing out right now my unbelief and I'm setting it with God. I'm going to believe for your salvation. Now, I can't tell you about your salvation. You have to work that out yourself. But Christ still lives and reigns. He's here tonight. Do you believe that? What do you have to do? Get in the Spirit. And when you get in the Spirit, then you see the vision. How do I see the vision? But as long as you say, well, God, bless God, I'm Methodist. I don't have to put up with such. I'm Baptist. I'm Assemblies. I'm Oneness. I'm Message. All right? Go ahead. You'll never see the vision. So what shows that you see the vision? Because you're part of the Message? But it's when the Message is seen in you. Church, I'm walking to Mechanics and Dynamics. You know it. But we have Mechanics. We have the seed of God. But until you can allow that seed of God to express the unity with God, then you'll sit here looking just like this. It says, but you throw that thing aside and get into the vision and see Jesus coming and the church perishing here. And get into the vision. Dig right down, brother. I'm telling you, something will happen to you then. You'll get in the Spirit of revival. Do you believe it? So until we get to a place that we look at this church and we say we're perishing, it's just going to keep on looking like it will. Amen? As we close, I'm going to read just a few more little things here. Maybe not tremendously little, but read something here. Notice, we talked about revivals of religion, page 31. I want you to see this again, just so you can see what you're really thinking here. I'm going to read the second one. It says, you see why you have not a revival is because you do not want one. Because you're neither praying for it, nor feeling anxious for it, nor putting forth efforts for it. You're doing nothing for it. I appeal to your conscience. Are you making these efforts now to promote a revival? You know, brethren, what the truth is about it. Will you stand up and say that you have made efforts for revival and have been disappointed? That you have cried to God, wilt thou not revive us? And that God would not do it? Do you wish, three, would you wish for a revival? Will you have one? If God should ask you this moment by an audible voice from heaven, do you want a revival? Would you dare say yes? If He were to ask, are you willing to make the sacrifices? Would you answer yes? Remember, who would say right now, do you have enough boldness to raise your hand and say, God, I want a revival? You come to number two. Are you willing to make the sacrifice? Let's look at this. We're going to get ready to close. When a revival should be expected, page 29. It says a revival may be expected whenever Christians are found willing to make the sacrifices necessary to carry it on. They must be willing to sacrifice their feelings, their business, their time to help forward the work. Ministers must be willing to lay out their strength and to jeopardize their health and life. They must be willing to offend the impenitent by plain and faithful dealing, and perhaps offend many members of the church who will not come up to the work. They must take a decided stand with the revival, be the consequences what they may. They must be prepared to go on with the work, even though they should lose the affections of all the impenitent. And of all the cold part of the church. The minister must be prepared. If it be the will of God to be driven away from the place, he must be determined to go straight forward and leave the entire event with God. Now understand what's going on here in this day. In this day, they have literally a revival broke out in one place. And then they took it to another place. Then they took it out to another place. They took it out to another place. But what they had in that revival is that God was literally doing the same experience all over the place. And people were catching wind that God was doing things. And they were wanting a revival. Because they heard that God was doing powerful things. Okay, well, what are you doing? Are you looking for Africa? What are you looking for? You're looking for a different type of revival. But I know I'm the offensive preacher. Brother Cam, can't you go on preaching mysteries again? Can't you preach this and can't you preach this? What's that going to do? If I've been watching, I ain't seen no sinners coming in. What's that going to do if I ain't watching God heal a church that has many spiritual and physical issues? So, this is where we're at. So the people also must be willing to have a revival. Listen to this. Let the sacrifice be what it may. It will not do for them to say, we are willing to attend so many meetings, but we cannot not attend anymore. Or, we are willing to have a revival if it will not disturb our arrangements about our business or prevent our making money. I tell you, such people will never have a revival till they are willing to do anything that God indicates to be their duty. Christian merchants must be willing to lock up their stores for 6 months if it is necessary to carry on a revival. How many of us are willing to quit our jobs for a revival? This is where the rubber meets the road. Oh, thank God for unemployment. These people did it without unemployment. Are you willing to come up to that level of a sacrifice? Says, I do not mean that any such thing is called for, or that it is their duty to do so. But if there should be such a state of feeling as to call for it. A feeling? A moving? Or they ought to be willing to do it at the call of God, for he can easily burn down their stores if they do not. In fact, I should not be sorry to see such a revival in New York as would make every merchant in the city lock up his store till spring and say that he has sold goods enough and would now give up his whole time to leading sinners to Christ. You remember, I'd love to go through all this stuff. He's just sitting up here and it just starts coming out. Remember the story Brother Branham told about the policemen and the men, I believe it was Charles Palm, that went over to the Welsh Revival, which started before Azusa Street. And they walked in, and the first thing they seen was a police officer. They seen the police officer, And he said, where's the Welsh revival? We heard there's the Welsh revival here. And he's swinging his billy club around. He said, I am the Welsh revival. You look into the Welsh revival, it was started by a bunch of young people. But if you actually look at it, the effects of the Welsh revival was so great that they literally cut down the police force. I can't remember the full number, but it was like from 20-some police officers down to like 4 of them. They didn't even need police. And they were just duty policemen. And that wasn't a former or latter rain. Don't think that the former and latter rain will not be so close it would deceive the elected if it was possible. It's going to be close. But make sure you've got the word. There will be something different to what you're seeing. Let's stand. I know. Here we are. You're looking at revival. Your prophet told you all about what this revival would be. Amen. Right? We know all about what this revival will be. And I had a quote and I didn't bring it with me. But I want you to see, church, that your prophet said Ananias and Sapphira would come back. He said missing limbs would be restored. I want you to know, church, when I was working my overtime yesterday, we went to Subway. I seen a girl in there who was making subs. She was a young girl, probably low 20s. And she was standing there, and she was making my sub. And these are normal arms. Her arms were literally like this long. I tell you, church, the first thing that struck my mind was God's lengthening them arms out. Do you realize that God lets the church get into a depraved spiritual and physical condition? He lets people around the area deal with 38 years of infirmity. Just like the man that was lame. So that he can manifest his power there. What the condition of this church shows is not that we're dead, but that we're made to come alive. But when will you want a revival? When are you going to cry out for it? When are you going to believe it? When are you going to manifest it? Church, bride, God's beloved, I've come down to a conclusion that this is the vision. You've heard in two services how to, in order to manifest this vision, you've got to repent. You've got to get in the spirit of revival. You've got to cry out for the Holy Ghost. And once you find it, then you've got to keep it there. But we're still trying to find it. We've got the word, church. You've got the mechanics. Don't worry about that. You need the dynamics. So how do we get a living God to be on the scene? You've got to cry out for it. You've got to cry out for revival. You've got to do what it takes and keep on ushering in. Don't worry, we're getting ready to do some things in this church. Amen? There may be a cold part of this church. that's not interested in fully coming, that's fine. There may be a part that's not willing to come up to the challenge. That's okay. It's got to start somewhere. God help us all to move into position. Because you're either with it or you're not. But don't worry, God's going to get things lined up. I believe God can turn this whole church. I believe it. I believe He can make a cold part a hot part even later. I don't know. But I just believe that God's got something to do here. And it's going to be past what your level of believing is. Amen? But I know this. I cannot benefit this message, even as an entirety, until I get to a place where I need to be with what God has given me as a revelation. Amen? I cannot be what I need to be this church until I get to a place where I come to what I've been made to be in God. As well as you. How do I get that? How do you get that? How are you going to benefit the message? Well, I'm pretty good socially. That ain't going to make a rapture. Well, I got to fit in. It doesn't matter in this church or in other churches. Total. It doesn't matter. Until we get to a place that we're manifesting the Holy Spirit on a level of complete obedience. I'm talking about a sealed experience. We can entertain and we can bring all these things into play. Amen. But we cannot fully benefit, and we're made to benefit. Amen. So with that statement, you heard it said last time, last Wednesday night. As we look for a revival, we have to see that we're not in a place that we need to be. Church, I felt a little moving the other night. I felt it really good. But I'm not where I want to be. I want to continue it. I want God just to give me that and all the more. I want to be at a place, I don't care what people think of me. I don't care what people watch me do. I don't care. I just want God to manifest. Change me. Cry out, God, change me. It's got to come past church level. It's got to go. It's got to get in my home. The Holy Ghost has got to be here when I walk in here. It's got to be in my house when people walk in. It's got to be wherever I walk. God's got to be there. Is that the type of God that you're looking for? If it is, would you raise your hands? Amen. Because you're talking about wanting to go to a place with God that's higher than where you're at. If that's your belief, God sees those hands that are raised. Let's just pray now. Our sister plays something softly. God, as we look, Lord, is at our hearts this morning, God, certainly, Lord, we need to come, Lord, to a revived state. A state, oh God, where we're fully repented. We're fully walking in a greater line of obedience to You. And Lord, we believe it's possible, Lord. Lord, we know that this revival, Lord, it brings faith. It brings the supernatural, the power. And Lord, perhaps, Lord, if we looked at ourselves this morning, this afternoon, Lord, we'd see, oh God, we're still not lining up to this. But God, what else do we need? What else will show us what we're really supposed to do? God, You see the grief and the grief state that I'm at, God. And Lord, I look at myself, Lord, and I see, oh God, You know my thoughts that have been coming forth. You hear my prayers, God. And Lord, I feel, Lord, like I'm of no benefit to anything or anyone. Oh God, I can get up here and preach, but God, that's just the Holy Ghost. But I believe that You can live there more. I believe that You can give gifts to this church the right way. And God, we know there's only one way to do it. Through the power of Thy Spirit. Through the crying out of Your church. For those wanting to be revived. For those wanting, Lord, to see their family saved. To see their conditions healed. Oh, God, you know where I'm at, Lord. Lord, oftentimes I look and, God, how could you even save me? But I know deep down there's a seed that says I'm all right. But, God, it doesn't change, oh, God. This individual from crying out for revival. Lord, I pray you tear down our strongholds. Show us our iniquity. Show us where we need to be broke, God. Reveal to us, God, where we're lacking. Where we're falling short. And show us by your presence that this was you. It was your moving, God. It was you crying out for us. I believe with all my heart, Lord. And God, I just ask this afternoon, would you change the hearts of the cold? Lord, it seems like we're all just going right back to it. This is Laodicea. But there's higher, higher place that you've called us to live. God, I pray, Lord, as my hands are raised at this point in time, Lord, forgive me of my wrongs. I've added more since my last repentance. But I know that you can move on me just like that. Oh, God, maybe a higher level, lower level, but Lord, every day I want some moving. I want a spiritual revival that's a daily occurrence. I want a repentance, God, a conviction that breaks me at my every move, God. I want to be at that state, working in this church, God, working in these individuals. We've got places to go. God, we just pray that just have your way. We commit ourselves to you now in repentance. In the name of Jesus Christ, forgive us as we pray. love these words? They describe you, amen.
And make it holy thine. Oh, fill my poor heart with thy great love divine. Hallelujah, Lord, send the revival.
Lord, you're beautiful. Amen.
Oh, Lord, you're beautiful, and your face is all I see. For when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. Oh Lord, my body's tired, but you keep reminding me of me.
Open the eyes of my heart. to see as we sing, holy, holy, holy. We sing, holy, holy, holy. As we sing, holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see. Gentle Savior. Amen.